Closure, Part 6. My epigraph is from a song by Paul Simon. Wah, 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 wah. People say I'm crazy. I got diamonds on the soles of my shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. This past week, for my family Zoom, my sister sent out a long playlist of Paul Simon songs, asking us to choose a current favorite. As soon as I started this one, Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes from his Graceland album, with the incredible backups from Ladysmith Black Mambazo, I knew it was my choice. The song opens with one possible description of the kind of aloneness I've been writing about. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. I like the expression, empty as a pocket. There are times when you're poor money-wise, times when you're poor friend-wise, times when you're poor love-wise. Once a pocket is empty, there is, as a matter of fact, nothing left for that pocket to lose. But also, as a figurative matter of fact in that image, you still have a pocket, an enclosed empty space that is promissory by nature, creating the reservoir for a possible refill. As my examples above illustrate, an almost overwhelming sense of freedom arises when you finally realize that your pocket is empty. Completely. Everything gone. And there's an almost simultaneous sense of exhilaration about the prospect of filling it up again. This time, not haphazardly or thoughtlessly, but with vision and purpose. The song then narrates a long and often unintelligible relationship the poor boy has with a rich girl who has diamonds on the soles of her shoes. By the end of the song, by some strange process of transmutation, that boy, who started off with ordinary shoes to match his empty pocket, now has diamonds on his own shoes too, losing his walking blues. In the second essay in my book, Living Hidden, he tells her their story. I document the moment when I was 4 or so, sitting disconsolately on the back steps at home on Depot Street, that I recognized and then decided to conserve, actually committed to as a lifelong promise, the androgynous spirit I, like everyone, was born with, which has served as the foundation for my becoming and remaining a creative individual, male and female living amicably, synthetically, in loving communion with one another, not out there, but in here, enveloping each other in the very same welcoming aura of selfless love that I felt in the forest this morning. The she in Simon's song is much like the she I became aware of in that moment 70 years ago, the ur moment in my life when I simultaneously felt empty and full of everything. The she I married in that moment was, I see now, the rich girl with diamonds on the soles of her shoes, who over time made my poor boy equally rich, diamonds on the soles of his shoes. If she told her story, it would be exactly the same one, with the roles reversed. There are no walking blues when you have diamond-soled shoes which never wear out. I am so happy, grateful, lucky to have met her so early in my life, and then to have met Carol, who surely had diamonds on the soles of her shoes, and Emily Dickinson, whose poems I heard myself singing this morning, with her, in loving communion, diamond-soled too. Or diamond sold, all of them, including me. There is nothing showy about diamonds on the soles of your shoes. No one outside of your most intimate company, those who share the moments when you both put up your feet or take your shoes off together, will ever see them. Which makes them all the more beautiful and useful in relieving the walking blues that so often empty our pockets in fear or grief or loneliness as we make our way, feeling lost along life's path. Lately, when I pray, I've taken to asking that I and those I love will be found. Initially, these foundnesses had some specific aspects to them, actual outcomes I had in mind. More recently, the term is gestural, generic, empty of specifics, premised on a faithful hope, much like that magical thing with feathers Emily Dickinson describes in her great poem about hope. That whatever goodness inspirits the universe, from the tiniest particle to the farthest galaxy, and I'm absolutely certain that goodness it is, will help us all to find our proper path and role in the grand scheme of things, contributing to and being enveloped in its welcoming aura of selfless love. Here's a poem I'm working on right now that I think is trying to say something akin to this, about a moment a few weeks ago, standing on the boardwalk downtown, looking out over the bay. Rows and rows of glossy white boats float hopefully on wavering water, waiting. Air, saturated with saline sea, overflows my eyes with everything lovely between. Soon, a single warm tear slides ever so slowly down my right cheek, all that's left of. Soon, a second warm tear slides ever so slowly down my left cheek, all that's found of. I lean elbows firmly on the boardwalk railing and know for sure my life has been. This is one of those poems that came to me enigmatically, its meaning elusive, thus all the ellipses, I assume, the punchlines undelivered, so you have to get it at a whole other level or by less customary means. In the moment when that last little tear of what was left in there ran down my right cheek, not sad, not dramatic, hardly even perceptible, a trickle of warmth, it made space for something new to be found, the first drop of which revealed itself almost immediately. To be found is wonderful, whether it is by the culture at large, a collective recognition of our intrinsic worth, by family and friends who stand by no matter the weather, by more casual friends who reach out to us amicably from time to time for no other reason than genuine care. By a true lover, so rare in the human universe, in my case, once in a lifetime, precious beyond measure. But the greatest gift of all, I am coming to understand, is to find yourself. I've been fortunate to have experienced it so frequently throughout my life, at intersections like the ones on that porch in Forest City 70 years ago, or on the wall at CMU 50 years ago, or on the bench at Woodard Bay last week, but also in the tiny, everyday ways we all reach out to ourselves and somehow find someone reaching back. Someone worthy of our touch, who touches us back lovingly. It takes thinking to precipitate such moments, some paying attention to notice them, and some committed work to bring them to fruition. But when they happen, when the last tier of what's left clears a space for the next tier of what's found, there are suddenly more than enough diamonds right there at hand for us to spread everywhere, even on the soles of our shoes, where only those who most love us, including ourselves, will ever see them.